on, had to get to Alderaan. So they stopped into Mos Eisley to have a drink with Han.
TheForce.net and Revelscum.com present the Weekly Force Cast. And now your hosts, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
And welcome to the Force Cast, the official podcast of TheForce.net and Rebelscum.com. We are your weekly dose of Star Wars. My name is Jason. With me, always, is Pete.
Howdy, everybody.
And this week's episode is brought to you by Official Picks. When buying Star Wars autographs, you no longer need to worry about the authenticity. Buy from the only official source at Official Picks. That's officialpicks.com. Picks with an X. .com. Now, at the outset here, we just want to say we apologize. We've got a shorter show than usual. I'm actually on vacation. I'm in Nashville. Pete is back at the ForceCast Studios. How you doing over there, Pete?
Looks great.
We'll be back next week with a full show, and we'll catch up on anything that we might have missed that got cut out of this week's show. So, but we do have a full plate for you this week. And I also want to just say real quick here, thank you to everybody who joined us in the queue over at Play.com. If you listened to last week's show, you know that Play.com was running a promotion for the release of the original trilogy DVDs. The contest officially ended this past Monday. Unfortunately, we did not win, but there is some victory in defeat. We went from number 400 and something, I think it was like 411, and in 2 days, we finished out at number 8. So you can actually still see it. If you go to StarWarsQ.co.uk, you can still see Jason in line there. But everybody gave it such an awesome effort, and we just, Pete, I don't know, we were signing people up left and right, weren't we?
Yeah, that's most of what we did most of the day, Sunday and Saturday prior to that. So.
Yeah, I mean, it was just we were trying to fill the requests as quickly as they were coming in, and they were coming in really fast. So thank you. We didn't win this one, but there's always next time. Coming up on this week's show for September 15th, 2006.
TheForce.net gets nominated. Original trilogy DVDs make media splash. Star Wars to hit theaters again. A peer pleads guilty and a Star Wars trivia quiz all feature in this week's headlines from the Force.net news desk.
And we'll have part two of our conversation with Hyperspace Fan Club President Dustin Roberts as we continue our chat in the cantina.
We draw from the Jedi ranks for our Expanded Universe Character of the Week with fan favorite Quinlan Vos.
And we'll have a couple of listener emails for you this week where you become the star of the Star Wars universe. Well, that's a lot to cover, so let's get right to it. Punch it!
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
And our first story this week is near and dear to our hearts as the Force.net gets nominated for Movies.com's Best Unofficial Movie Site category for the 2006 awards. Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith, is also nominated in the Best Movie category. Now, the winners are going to be announced October 10th, so it's safe to say you probably have a couple of weeks to go in and vote for the Force.net and Episode III, but you never know with these things. There's actually not a date that I can see on the site other than when the winners will be announced. We don't know how long the voting window is going to be open, so please get on to movies.com and check out their Reader's Poll Awards. This is their first annual, so this is the first time they've done this. Movies.com Reader's Poll, and please vote for the Force.net and Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith, for your favorite all-time movie. It's kind of cool that Episode III got nominated. Now, I'm looking at the other nominees here. You got The Godfather, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, Pulp Fiction, Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith, and X-Men, The Last Stand. So
That's some pretty lofty company there.
Yeah, I would say that's kind of a potpourri category. I mean, you got a little bit of everything, I guess. Revenge of the Sith doesn't need much help, but certainly we'd love to see the Force.net come in as the best unofficial movie site.
Tuesday's release of the DVDs brought a lot of Star Wars celebrities out to join the fun. Lucasfilm Director of Fan Relations Steve Sansweet checked in with UGO.com just prior to Tuesday to bring fans up to speed on the DVDs and other things in the Star Wars universe. Steve didn't drop anything mind-blowing on us, but he did confirm a lot of what we have already heard. The animated series will debut next year, taking place between episodes 2 and 3, following the Clone Wars adventures of various Jedi. The live-action TV show is in pre-production at this point, with Rick McCallum tapped to produce. There is still no set release for this, except for the fact that it will debut sometime near the end of the decade. Also, the next-gen video game title set for next year will definitely contain a revelation that will be a very important part of the Star Wars timeline. All in all, it is nice to get some confirmation from Lucasfilm that everything is on track for the next big things that we're looking forward to. And everyone's favorite Ewok, Warwick Davis, checked in with TimeOut.com to talk about his Star Wars experience. Davis is still amazed that he is talking about Star Wars 25 years after its debut. As you would think would be the case, Davis prefers the original movies, as that is how he remembers his Star Wars beginnings. And finally, the G4 Network's Attack of the Show program had three enthusiasts on to debate the merits of the DVD. The DigitalBits.com editor, Bill Hunt, and Wired Magazine's Laura Sojaberg joined the Force.net's Josh Griffin for some witty repartee. Mr. Hunt was critical of the film's release, saying that the Laserdisc transfer is below even standard DVD quality, and was adamant that the fans would not be happy until the original films are released in a manner befitting the technology available. Laura Sojaberg chimed in that until they can make an edition that transforms you back into an 8-year-old kid and returns you to the joy and wonderment of that age, the fans won't be happy. Josh Griffin took up the torch that this is the nostalgia edition, and the grainy picture transfers and the bad soundtrack are what Star Wars was for many of us. He also felt that in all reality, this is a release geared toward the family, and that next year's anniversary set will likely be the one geared toward the ultra fan, heavy on extras and price tag. The debate continued around, but ultimately ended with all agreeing that there probably isn't a way to make all Star Wars fans happy.
Well, I picked up mine.
Which set did you go with?
You know, I actually went out to Best Buy. I went with the tin. And, you know, it's funny because when we were talking about it last week, I threw out the tin, and I never really entertained the idea until I saw it. And I thought, you know, this is going to look really nice on my shelf, you know, with all my others. And it's always kind of bothered me that the prequels don't have a nice little case, you know, for them to go into.
Yes.
Because I really like when the DVDs came out in 04, really like the box, in the way it looks, the spine showing out on my shelf. So I'm kind of a sucker for that sort of thing. So I went with that one. I'm really not the type of guy that's going to hang like concept art in my house or anything. So really for me, it was the item that best served my needs. What'd you go with?
I went with the tin as well. I know you had given me a quick shout to give me a recommendation, and I checked out a couple, but certainly the tin, you know, just being able to clasp it shut, have all three movies in there and throw that on a shelf, certainly was the way that I wanted to go with it. But I tell you, I was really disappointed because I went to Best Buy and they did not have any copies of the Xbox version of the Star Wars Lego game, if you can believe that.
That is hard to believe. Wow, really?
I was there Tuesday evening and they did not have one copy.
Did they sell out or did they just not get them in?
No, they sold out.
Oh,
so that,
wow.
That is a cool thing that they did sell out, but unless I have an Xbox 360, which I don't, I couldn't get an Xbox copy of it. And that's how I had the first game, so I wanted to be able to, you know, move through the bonus features that you can get with having completed parts of the other game. So I was very upset that I couldn't get that, so I guess I'll have to find another outlet to get it from.
Well, being on vacation, I have really not had a chance to digest these DVDs. I did pop... I popped in Jedi, being that was the first one that I really have a vivid memory of seeing in the theater. I popped that one in, and the bonus disc, I guess they're calling it, with the original 1983 release, and I was enjoying it. I noticed that you got some issues there with the contrast in the film, and it's really, really dark in some places, the Jabba's palace scenes in particular. But you know what? It is how I remember it, and if that's the litmus test we're going to use for this release than 4 stars. It is how I remember it.
Yes, well, you know, I put it in. It was as crappy as advertised, and I loved every second of it. You know, I loved the grainy transfers. I remember all that kind of stuff. So that was really actually pretty cool for me because I was kind of – it was almost like watching it new because I had seen the special edition so many times.
And I got to admit, I got caught up in some of the, oh, but the original is better hype, and it's not. I'm just going to go out on a limb here and just say, it's not. I mean, the special editions with the, granted, there is, you know, we can pick and find faults with certain things we like, certain things we don't like. But overall, as far as the quality of the film, how it looks, how it holds up to movies today, you just can't beat the versions that came out in 2004. No. They're beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, it's no contest. And this really would be extraordinarily difficult, I think, to match that using the original films.
Yeah, I'm sure that they could do it, but I really don't see why they would go to all the expense and all the trouble. I know there are some feathers ruffled out there, and Bill Hunt made a lot of really good points on Attack of the Show. Everybody had good points, but I mean, the bottom line is that this is a business enterprise,
right?
And you got to do what makes sense. And I think this was a way just to kind of quiet a certain segment of the fans, hopefully. I don't know if it worked.
No.
But, you know, it also gave Star Wars a big push going into the last quarter of the year and then, you know, skating into 2007, which is going to be a banner year. It was good, that Steve Sansweet interview, it was good to just finally, like you said, to hear some confirmation that, okay, these things are still going to happen. We're still getting the TV show or the cartoon and then the live-action show, so I was glad every time I hear, you know, that mention, because I have this feeling or have had this feeling like, I don't know if this TV show is ever going to really happen. So I like that they keep throwing it out there.
Right, absolutely. I really did enjoy the Attack of the Show debate, and there was a lot of good stuff that on there. But I don't know if you got to see the actual live show, did you?
I didn't see the live show,
okay,
no.
Well, the segment that was right after that was getting sex and dating advice. And I thought to myself, if you are tuning into the G4 video game channel to get sex and dating advice, you've already identified half of the problem.
Star Wars will return to the big screen sometime next year, kind of. The independent film Fanboys will tell the tale of a group of friends joined by their love of Star Wars in 1998, just prior to the release of Episode I, The Phantom Menace. The group decides to attempt a break-in to Skywalker Ranch in order for one of the friends to see the film before he dies of a terminal disease. The first stills from the movie can be seen at Independent Entertainment News or IESB.com. IESB also has a link for an interview with the film's director, Kyle Newman. So have you checked out the pics yet, Pete?
I have, and I was very happy to see some of them. You know, a boyhood hero of mine, the greatest American hero, William Catt, is in the movie. My favorite scoundrel, Lando Calrissian, i.e. Billy Dee Williams, is in the movie. And, of course, there's a shot of Veronica Mars, Kristen Bell, in a Slave Leia outfit. I don't know if there's anything better than that.
Oh, I don't know. Let's just say that she just kind of is the icing on the cake of this movie in general. I'm really pumped for this movie. I mean, you mentioned Billy Dee Williams is in it, William Catt. Ray Park also has a cameo. Jeremy Bullock has a cameo. I think what really has excited me about this movie more than anything is, you know, one, it's not a documentary, it's an actual, you know, fictional movie, but it's not just a parody, it's not just making fun of Star Wars fans or Star Wars in general. This storyline actually has a lot of heart, and it sounds kind of far-fetched and goofy, but from what Dustin was telling us when we had him in the cantina, he actually saw some clips of this, I think at Comic-Con. He says, no, this movie's really going to have a lot of heart, and it takes the subject matter seriously, but it's going to have a heck of a good time, you know, getting you there.
Absolutely, and I don't think there's anybody out there that hasn't had that idea in their head of wanting to break into Lucas Ranch and just kind of run wild.
Well, I felt a lot better after I heard about this movie because, believe it or not, and I've never really told anybody this, so I'm just telling you, back in, I guess it would probably have been like 1996 or 97, the first Entertainment Weekly story on the prequels when it was official and bang, they had the story. Again, this goes back to where I wasn't on the internet every day or much at all. And I saw that story and it said, oh, the first one's not going to be out until 1999. And I said, oh, dear God, whatever you do, let me live to see these movies. So anyway, I'm glad I'm not the only one that ever had that idea.
Yeah.
But I was checking out Kyle Newman's, the director Kyle Newman's credits on IMDb, and something kind of struck me. His next two projects, after the film about Star Wars fans, are Revenge of the Nerds and Gnomes. And on a related note, the DVD release of the independently produced documentary George and Me is scheduled for later this month on September 30th. The documentary is the culmination of 2 years' worth of footage chronicling the other side of Star Wars fans and boasting the tagline, "There's a lot of love behind Star Wars." Now, I went out to the official site there at georgeandme.co.uk and checked out the trailers. They have a teaser trailer and the release trailer. And this looks really, really well done. And I would compare it to the Trekkies movies. I don't know if you saw any of those, but they were out a few years ago.
Sure.
That just kind of followed the Trekkie fandom.
Well, sure. And there's also a film that's being done in the U.S. that follows a similar pattern following the 501st here in the U.S., Heart of an Empire. And you can check that out at heartofanempire.com. But it as well shows the other side of what Star Wars fans are about and things behind the Star Wars fandom and going to hospitals and visiting sick kids and the things that bring us not only as a Star Wars fan unit together, but also bring us as part of as the important part of the community as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I like about, you know, these two documentaries that we're talking about is, you know, as the slogan goes, the softer side or the other side, you know, of Star Wars fandom, and, you know, showing that we're more than just a group of goofy folks that run around in costumes. And sure, that's a part of it, but that's certainly not, you can't just throw all Star Wars fandom, or all Star Wars fans, rather, in one box. And so it's cool to see these movies come out. I know that I'm going to be checking those out later this month. And as a follow-up to a story we covered in a prior episode, Star Wars in 20 Minutes, the official shortened production, licensed by Lucasfilm and produced for Sky TV in the UK, is, as predicted, now available to view on YouTube. So go check it out.
In what will surely be a landmark case in the ongoing battle involving copyright infringement, Scott McCausland of California pled guilty to one count of conspiracy to commit copyright infringement and one count of criminal copyright infringement in violation of the Family Entertainment Copyright Act. The charges against him stemmed from his part in supplying copyrighted material to BitTorrent peer-to-peer networks to be downloaded. Specific to the case, McCausland uploaded Star Wars Episode III over 6 hours before it made its theater debut. Under the codename of D-Elite, a combined task force of the FBI and Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency are seeking to clamp down on the use of BitTorrents to distribute copyrighted material. This case represents the first criminal enforcement for this type of copyright infringement. McCausland faces up to 5 years in prison and a fine of $250,000.
Well, what can you say about this? We've known for a long time that it was eventually going to come to this, and it has. We've got the first criminal prosecution, although he pled guilty, the first real prosecution of this type of thing. Interesting to point out, Lucasfilm really had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, this really didn't stem from anything that Lucasfilm was doing whatsoever. It was completely the task force of the FBI and the Customs Enforcement Agency and the Motion Picture Association of America, who put together all the evidence against this guy and had him to plead guilty.
I've got a lot of thoughts on this whole idea of how we can balance this flood of technology that we're experiencing. I mean, just with the announcement 2 days ago of, you know, the new version of iTunes, and now there are full-length films that you're going to be able to download into your iPod. Now, I've been ripping excuse me, but I've been ripping my own purchased DVDs onto my iPod for some time now, just so I can enjoy them, you know, on the go. But these are actually going to be purchased through the site. No word yet on whether or not any of the Star Wars films are going to be available, but the fact that you can get the Clone Wars series kind of leads me to believe that we might see that happen pretty soon. So the way it's just tough to balance how fast and rapid the technology is growing and changing with our views of copyright law. And be sure to check out our show notes at theforce.net and rebelscum.com for links to all the stories that we talked about, as well as a few others that we didn't get to.
Where are you going, Master?
For a drink.
Sorry about the mess.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
You had mentioned earlier, we use this term, the Star Wars community. Since, you know, all your experiences in creating websites and being on staff of various fan sites and, you know, now obviously the presidency, hanging out with Steve Sansweet, what has the Star Wars community come to mean to you?
I'd say it's all the different members of the community. There's so many different types of fans out there. No matter what you're into, there's somebody out there who's into the same thing. If you're into the books, the comics, writing fan fiction, dressing up with the Rebel Legion or 501st, I mean, there is something out there for everybody. And I think that collective, you know, melting pot, when they all come together, like, you know, I said in an earlier conversation with how some of these events are a family reunion. I mean, That's what it's like. It's like family, basically.
Well, you're saying it's like a family reunion. Can you remember a time where maybe you had been chatting with somebody online and you finally got to meet them? You finally got to put, you know, the face with the name?
Oh, yeah. There was one time when we were at Celebration 2, and I hadn't met everybody from Team Rebel Scum yet. And the previous Christmas, I sent everybody a RebelScum.com t-shirt with, you know, the Rebel Scum logo on it. It was just a black t-shirt, you know, screen logo on the back. And we were setting up for Celebration 2, and I saw one of these shirts across the way, and I'm like, who the heck is that wearing, you know, the shirt that I made? I didn't know that. Got one of my shirts, so I went over and I'm like, hey man, where'd you get this shirt from? He's like, Dustin Roberts sent it to me, you know. I'm like, well, I'm Dustin Roberts, who are you? He's like, I'm Dan Curto. And it was Dan Curto from rebelscum.com, and I'm sure everybody's familiar with him. He's a news posting machine over there. But I love the sense of community that Star Wars fans have and how open-armed they are. You know what I mean? It's just, you can go anywhere. If you see somebody with a Star Wars shirt on, you're like, hey, what's up, buddy? You know, you know, give you the wink and a secret handshake. But that's what I like about it. And that's, you know, why I'm still here.
Now, you're quite a conventioneer as of late. Have you had any... You've obviously hung out with Steve Sansweet. Any other brushes with Star Wars celebrity?
Over the years, I've bumped into a few celebrities here and there at different shows. Well, just recently, we were out in San Diego, and I got to meet Tamara Morrison there, and Amy Allen was there again, David Prowse, Carrie Fisher. I'm not as buddy-buddy close-close with a lot of them, but it's nice to meet them and get the handshake and the nod and, hey, thanks, you know, for being here, that kind of thing. I'll tell you one cool story I have. This goes way back. I remember one of the first shows I ever went to was they had a Cincinnati sci-fi show here in 97, I believe. And this is when Kenner was still in town. They actually set up at this show. And I think it was back when they were doing the Men Behind the Masks tour. It was like David Prowse, Peter Mayhew, Jeremy Bullock. And this was the first time that I met Chris Holika from ToshiStation.com. And he's also the resident art department guy over at RebelScum.com. And I also met Philip Wise for the first time. And this is all pre-Rebel Scum days when it was just, you know, Philip's Star Wars page or whatever he was running there. And we're sitting there talking or whatever and, you know, just... out the corner of my eye, I catch Jeremy points over and waves at Philip. You know, Philip, hey, you know, waves back, and I'm like thinking to myself, oh my God, he knows Jeremy Bullock. Wow, that's so cool, man. That's so cool. But then after a few years, and I've been introduced to Jeremy, and you talk to him at all these shows, he really does remember your face and remember your name, because I've had him sneak up behind me a few times at shows. Hey, you know, kind of scare you, you know, and. What's going on, you know, that kind of thing, and who let you in here, and that kind of stuff. He's a great guy. He's really cool.
Dustin, at this point, where do you see the future of the Star Wars franchise heading? Where do you think things are going to go from here next year with the 30th anniversary and then even further beyond?
Well, you know, like my little green buddy says, always in motion the future is. I see it, you know, they're really hyping this video game that's supposed to be coming out next year. It's going to become part of the story. So you get the video games coming out, you get the animated show coming out, and then after that, the live show. And sprinkled in between, you know they're going to do another DVD release or whatever format's hot at the moment. I think they're always going to try to keep the story going with the TV show. If that becomes popular, there's the possibility of a spinoff there or a comic book or a book after the fact. Same thing with the cartoon series. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen with this stuff. If they're plugging this video game now, then I guarantee they're probably already working on the part two to that video game to come out the next year or the year after. I'm thinking, if you look back at the way it's gone over the past 10 years, there's always something in the spotlight, year in, year out, that's Star Wars related somehow. Whether it's a CD release, a video game, a book, a comic, a show. I mean, it's if they can keep it going, they're going to keep it going. And if you like it, then support it, and they'll keep making it for us. So
I thought for sure we were going to see at least some concept art for the cartoon by now. It's killing me. I'm dying to see something.
I was really disappointed that we weren't shown anything at San Diego. Steve was saying that there was really nothing to be shown. So I don't know if he saw anything or just heard anything or whatever, but he promised something for C4. So you can pretty much bank on there being something cartoon-related at C4.
Great. Well, Dustin, we're going to start a little tradition here in the cantina. We're going to be—we've designed a little questionnaire.
Okay.
And I'm sure you'll get the flavor of the questions here. Questionnaire that we're going to ask all our guests. The great questionnaire of Yoda of Dagobah, and Pete's going to go ahead and ask away.
All right, Pete, go.
Dustin Roberts, what is your favorite Star Wars line?
Do or do not, there is no try.
What is your least favorite Star Wars line?
My least favorite Star Wars line. I don't have a least favorite Star Wars line.
That's a good enough answer. What Star Wars moment makes you smile?
I really like the hint at romance there between Han Solo and Leia when they're in, it's sprinkled throughout the first two, but then when you get to Cloud City there, and he's about to go down and be, you know, set up in the Carbonite, and he looks over at her, she says, "I love you," and he says, "I know." I just love that. I love that. It's just that cocky, you know, attitude that he's got, just perfect. Gives me goosebumps.
And what Star Wars moment makes you sad?
You know, when Yoda died, that's kind of sad, you know, because they built up the character and, you know, he becomes part of Luke's growing up and advancement and, you know, maturity or maturing into, you know, this Jedi Knight. It's sad to see, you know, Yoda hang on for so long and then, you know, oh, that's it, I'm done. Done as much damage as I could do. No. I really liked Yoda and it was, you know... I'm probably pulling more off of my feelings as, you know, as a kid when I saw that. It was really kind of, not disturbing, but it was sad, you know? You know, man, Yoda died.
We've already hinted a little bit at this, but who is your favorite Star Wars character?
Ah, R2-D2, of course. Gotta love R2.
And who is your least favorite Star Wars character?
A lot of people are probably going to be surprised by this, but C-3PO is probably my least favorite character.
Oh,
yeah.
You haven't run into Anthony Daniels at a con, have you?
No, unfortunately I have not.
I think you will now.
Yeah, he'll be hunting me down.
He's always beating up on your little buddy.
Yeah. Maybe that's names.
It.
Maybe that's it.
Okay, and what is your favorite Star Wars curse word?
Favorite Star Wars curse word? Let me think here. Oh, I got it. Poodoo.
What job would you like to do in the Star Wars universe?
In the Star Wars universe, what job would I like to do? Well, I wouldn't want to be a stormtrooper. You know, what I think would be cool would be like a lightsaber technician or something like that. Could you imagine you see those guys that are like guitar techs, you know, the roadies that travel around with a band, you know? You see some guy over in the corner traveling with a bunch of Jedis with a case full of sabers ready to go. Here's a new one, dude. This one's burnt out. It's not working right. I just throw them a new one, and then bam, they're good to go.
What job would you not want to do in the Star Wars universe?
I definitely wouldn't want to be the guy who has to clean up the trash compactor. That's for sure. That's probably got to be a pretty stupid job, don't you think?
And finally, if another Star Wars movie was to be made and you were cast in it, what would you want to hear George Lucas say when he says cut for the last time?
Dustin, I'm so glad we could fly you out here to Australia to take care of this. I'm glad you could fit us into your schedule. I think this is a go. We've got a solid cut here. I don't know, man.
We have to say the same thing at the end today.
Oh, he'd probably say something like, faster, more intense, or more
Dustin Roberts, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Dustin, for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate being on here.
Get yourself a drink on the way out.
I definitely will.
I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father, before the dark times, before the Empire.
Always in motion is the future, beyond the outer rim.
Master Voss has moved his troops to Bos Pity.
Our journey through the expanded universe this week takes us into the Clone Wars era with one of the most revered Jedi heroes, Quinlan Voss. Voss was born the son of two of Kafu's guardians. These guardians patrolled the prison world and watched over its inmates. Quinlan showed tremendous potential early on as he had the customary psychometric powers of his clan, but enhanced them with his latent force sensitivity. With his parents dead, Voss returned to Coruscant with Tholme and began his training with other younglings Ciri Chachi, Bant Eren, Shilar, and Obi-Wan Kenobi. During his training under Master Tholme, Voss fought in the Stark Hyperspace War and became close friends with Obi-Wan. On a mission to Ryloth, Quinlan was responsible for saving an infant Aayla Secura. Voss immediately felt a connection with Secura and convinced the Council to test her for training, and she eventually went on to become Quinlan's own Padawan learner. Also during his training, Voss had a romantic relationship with fellow Padawan, Shilar, which they ended knowing would not be allowed. This became a recurring pattern as Voss engaged in behaviors that would lead him closer to the dark side. A year after the Battle of Naboo, Voss awoke on Nar Shaddaa with no memory of who or what he was. He immediately was confronted by bounty hunters and instinctively fought them off with the help of Vilmar Crack, or Vili, as he became to be known. As they fought their way off planet, they encountered two beings with lightsabers. In the struggle, Voss got one of the lightsabers and was flooded with memories, including the whereabouts of Aayla Secura. As he attempted to discover what happened, he tracked down beings from his visions, including Bib Fortuna. Quinlan's quest for his memory led him back to his homeworld and then to Ryloth, where he confronted Pol Secura, Aayla's uncle. Quinlan learned that Pol had administered drugs to he and Aayla when they got too close to discovering his drug trade. Voss had been cast off, and Aayla was made into a servant. Voss went to Aayla, but she was unable to remember anything. After a final confrontation ended with Pol Secura plummeting to his death, Voss left with Aayla blaming him for her uncle's death. At the request of the Jedi Council, Voss returned to Coruscant, and after an incident that again took him close to the dark side, Voss agreed to re-enter his training. After a few months of training, Voss was again called into action with a dangerous mission to Dathomir. Dathomir was ruled by an untrusting clan of witches who immediately took Voss captive and forced him into slavery. After escaping, Voss learned of a plot to destroy Coruscant with an ancient weapon. Voss's quick actions helped to thwart this plot and allow him to travel back safely to Coruscant. After feeling a disturbance in the Force, Voss again returned to his homeworld of Kafu to fend off the attacking Anzadi. Voss was once again confronted with his mother's medallion and the visions of his parents' death. Master Tholme told him that it was the only way to calm the darkness within him. They returned to the battle and found Aayla Secura to be leading the Anzadi as she was now the dark side apprentice of Volf Karko. The battle continued until Voss was faced with a showdown with Aayla in front of Karko. Voss refused to continue fighting with Secura, who almost killed Voss had it not been for Karko wanting to instead and blasting Secura so he could jump into the fight. Voss dispatched Karko and then revived Aayla, helping her to regain her memory and return to the light. Master Tholme took over Ayla's training, and Voss became a leaf on the wind. Their paths crossed again when they were forced into a dangerous mission when Master Tholme was captured by bounty hunters and Voss and Secura were forced to rescue him. After the daring rescue, Voss was given the title of Jedi Master while Secura became a Jedi Knight. After the ceremony, Quinlan promised Ayla she would never have to walk the path of a Jedi Knight alone, for he would always be at her side. As the Clone Wars began, Voss served as a spy gathering information on the Confederacy. When the flow of information stopped suddenly, Ayla was sent to find him, which she did, assisting him in getting additional information. It was during this, however, that Ayla discovered that Voss was romantically involved with one of his agents, Kayleen Hentz. Voss went on from there to serve as a double agent, joining Count Dooku's inner circle, with only a few Jedi knowing about his remaining allegiance to them. In order to do this, Voss did things that convinced many Jedi he had turned to the dark side. Dooku fed into this by returning Voss to Kifu, where he convinced him to use the dark side to enhance his powers and read his aunt's past. Voss discovered that his aunt had sacrificed his parents to Enzadi's soul vampires as part of a business deal. Enraged, Voss killed his aunt and seemingly proved to Dooku that he had given in to the dark side. Voss became Dooku's assassin. He killed several prominent men believing that he was doing good, but confusing both sides as to where his true loyalties lie. After a confrontation with and betrayal of Ayla Secura and Commander Bly, Bly shot him in the back. In his escape, Voss, Asajj Ventress, Skor, and Obi-Wan became trapped on a cruiser. When Voss helped Kenobi escape, he was allowed back to the Jedi Order, but continued to work as a double agent until he was discovered by former Jedi Sora Bulk and was revealed as a traitor to the Confederacy. Voss gave up his ruse and assumed the mantle of Senior General, leading his forces on Opo Rancis, where he killed the Dark Jedi Skor and Sora Bulk, and on Baz Pitti. Realizing the darkness was to remain in him, Voss agreed to serve through the Clone Wars and then leave to be with Kayleen. Voss was sent to Kashyyyk and remained there during the heavy fighting. He was on Kashyyyk when Order 66 was sent throughout the galaxy and was believed to have been killed when his tank was blown apart. Voss was badly injured but survived and was pursued by several clones. Voss was shot while he simultaneously slashed Clone Commander Fey, killing him. As he lay dying, old friend and betrayer Vili showed up. When the other clones happened upon them, they found a Jedi funeral pyre. As the clone troopers left, Vili said under his breath, "All debts paid, Jedi." 8 months later, in a cave on Kashyyyk, Kayleen and her newborn baby met up with Master Tome and Master Tar Shah. Kayleen was watching a holocube from Voss explaining his feelings for her, when suddenly Quinlan himself walked in and repeated the words to her face. Vili had burned Commander Fey's body, which allowed Voss to be smuggled off-world. Voss vowed to stay with Kayleen and their son, Corto Voss. They remain fugitives from the Empire.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message after the message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick. Send no reply.
And we got a couple of emails we wanted to share with you. First from Lynn in Missouri. Lynn writes, "First off, I want to say that ForceCast rocks. I'm so glad there is a podcast for Star Wars fans. You guys do an excellent job on the show. I also really like the interview with Dustin Roberts. I really disagree with Disney making the female Jedi sound inferior. The female Jedi are just as important as the male Jedi. Star Wars would not be the same without the female Jedi masters such as Ayla Secura. I was outraged when you read the feedback email about the auditions, and I applaud you guys for speaking up about it. You guys are awesome, and I plan to listen every week." Well, thank you, Lynn. You know, this is the story that just won't die, isn't it?
Yeah, and like we said the first time, it just kind of showed up as a small blip on the radar, but it's grown and grown over the weeks, because I think more important people are thinking, hey, this just isn't right. I mean, there are certainly Jedi females and males should all be on the same level.
And just to summarize for you all, we did a story a couple weeks ago about there being, in Disneyland, a new show that's opening up, an interactive show for the kids, where you're going to have Jedi Disney characters doing this show. I can't remember the name of the show now, but they had auditions for the males, and apparently we learned later auditions for the female Jedis. And the female Jedis were billed as female Jedi Knights, whereas the males were billed as Jedi Masters. So we've been kind of poking a little fun here at Disney about maybe they're not quite so PC as they pretend to be.
Our next email comes from listener Scott. "Hey guys, great show you're putting on. I'm really enjoying it, especially since it's been so long since the last TFN podcast. I had a few things I thought I'd mention. In the last podcast, you mentioned that there would be two miniature sculpts of Boba Fett in the new Bounty Hunters mini collection. That isn't the case. There is one Jango Fett and one Boba Fett, both of which are VRs. I personally love the Jango Fett skull. Also, having more EU discussion in the podcast would be awesome. I know that if there is too much talk about the new Legacy of the Force books, it might be spoilers for some people, but I think you guys could come up with a good way of talking about it, the most recent events in the Star Wars universe, and how they might relate more to our culture and mindsets, such as Jason's reasoning for doing everything bad, he's looking to be worse than Vader, and the recent terrorism on Coruscant. Those books are rich with discussion topics, and there's a couple other great comments on there, but first of all, Scott, thank you very much for catching that error. I appreciate that greatly. There is not two Boba Fetts. There is actually a very cool Jango Fett, and of the two, that was the one that I liked the most, but I just kind of glanced at it and thought it was Boba as well, but it is Jango Fett. Thank you very much for catching that, and as always, if anybody out there catches anything that we do miss or misquote during a show, please let us know. And Scott, you can certainly look forward to more and more EU discussion as we get things moving on the show here. We're definitely looking at bringing that as more of a topic each week as we continue to grow the show.
And if you'd like to send us an email, do so at podcast@theforce.net. Keep them coming. Well, that's going to be it for us this week. Remember, we'll be back with a full show next week. We want to thank our sponsor, officialpicks.com. Check them out for all of your Star Wars autograph needs. The only official source for Star Wars autographs, officialpicks.com. That's picks with an X.com.
And we'd like to give another big thanks to Dustin Roberts for sitting down with us again in the cantina.
Keep the emails flowing. We'll be announcing our voicemail line soon. But in the meantime, drop us your thoughts at podcast@theforce.net.
And thanks to everyone who sent us the feedback so far. We really appreciate hearing about how much you enjoy the show. Keep it coming and send us some love by voting for us at Podcast Alley or writing a review on iTunes.
Until next week, this is your weekly dose of Star Wars. And remember,
the Force will be with you, always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.